Chances are, a banana might be nearby this morning. Hold it up for a moment and consider, how did something so pale and fragile become so commonplace in American life? Immigrants arriving at the South Ferry Terminal, where the Ellis Island Ferry landed, were once handed bananas and told, "Welcome to America." The man who made the banana an exotic emblem of affluence for mass consumption was himself a poor immigrant who came to America as an adolescent, amassed a fortune to rival the Rockefellers, and built great cultural institutions. But Samuel Zamora would also help foment coups, rip up countrysides, and impose his will, wiles, and schemes all over Central America. Sam Zamora is the subject of Rich Cohen's new book, The Fish That Ate the Whale, The Life and Times of America's Banana King. Rich Cohen, contributing editor at Vanity Fair and Rolling Stone, and the author of Tough Jews and Sweet and Low, joins us from our studios in New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And give us a picture of Sam Zamora when he was just 14 or 15 and just arriving in America.
Well, he came to this country alone from Western Russia. He grew up on a wheat farm in Bessarabia, and he was a Jewish immigrant, and he was, unlike a lot of his compatriots, I guess, he was a giant man. He was, at the time, he was like 6'3", and he was a big, tough guy. And he came into Selma, Alabama, and he saw his first banana, and he went down to Mobile when he was just 16 or 17, Mobile, Alabama, where the big fruit ships came in, and he found out that the companies took a lot of bananas and threw them in a big pile, Boston Fruit and the big fruit companies. And he said, "What are those bananas?" And they said, "Those are garbage. Those are going in the trash." And he said, "Why?" He said, "Those are ripes." And basically, if the rule was if a banana had one freckle, it was called a turning. And if it had two freckles, it was called a ripe. And they said you could never get it to the market in time to sell it. It would rot. And he bought for almost nothing the rotting bananas. And if you want to talk about something that'll make you a good salesman, it's a banana that you have 6 hours to sell before it rots. And by the time he was 18, he'd made $100,000, which this was in the 1890s.
What did he figure out to do with the ripes that had escaped everybody else?
He rented space on the Illinois Central train, and he took the train back to Selma, and they started to rot along the way because the train went so slow, and he figured out a deal with the railroad conductors and the guys who did the telegraph to wire all the grocery store guys, and they came out and met the train. Mm. And he sold the bananas right out of the boxcars. And actually, the New York Times said that he used boxcars like a guy in the Lower East Side uses a push cart.
When Sam Zamora first went to Central America, did he see possibilities in these tangled, overgrown jungles that even the locals, or maybe even especially the locals, had overlooked?
What they saw was that with modern technology, they could go to the jungles, which had always been considered diseased and waste places and to be avoided, and they could grow bananas there. This started with a guy named Minor Keith, who started United Fruit, who built a railroad across Costa Rica. I think 4,000 people died in laying the first 20 miles of that railroad. And what he started doing is planting bananas along the side. And he discovered there was a huge American market for these things. So they went to this land that they picked up for almost nothing because it was like buying swampland in Florida. It's a kind of deal you sign the papers and they laugh when you walk out of the room. But then they brought in all this machinery and they started to drain it and build these plantations and build the great wealth of those countries.
And we should explain, Sam Zamora didn't just sit on the porch and watch, did he?
No, that was a huge thing about Zamora, which is he went down to Honduras. Basically, he made a deal with all the local officials. They called them concessions. They were bribes to not pay taxes and do all kinds of things that we would be appalled by. And a new government was coming in, and he went down there. And the new government, backed by J.P. Morgan and the U.S. Secretary of State, J.P. Morgan himself, the old man, was going to overturn all these deals Zamora set up. And he went and he hired a group of mercenary soldiers in the dives in the French Quarter in New Orleans. And they went down to Honduras and they overthrew the government and put Sam guys in power. And this was a thing that Huey Long, who became Zamora's great enemy, used to always say, you know, a certain Sam Zamora, when he didn't like the government, he just changed the government. And he did that in Honduras and he did it later, was involved in it in Guatemala.
And so why did a reporter call him the fish that swallowed the whale?
Because he started with this little upstart banana company, Coyamel Fruit. It was basically, he bought an old bankrupt company, bought some old steamships that used to go from Liverpool to Argentina. That was their run. They were old and decrepit, and he started shipping bananas to the Gulf ports from Honduras that he grew. And it was this tough little company, and it came into conflict with United Fruit. And ultimately, the end result of that was Zimmery took over and swallowed United Fruit. And the New York Times called him the fish that swallowed the whale.
And do you think his life has anything to say about America?
Yeah, I think that he is this American idea that we're always going to go out and do this thing sin-free, that you can have both power and innocence. That's a really American idea. The Europeans sort of have been through enough history that they believe, or maybe they know, that you can't both be strong and pure. And the lesson of his life that he learned is that basically, once you have power, then you're going to have sin.
Rich Cohen, his new book, The Fish That Ate the Whale, The Life and Times of America's Banana King. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.